Our Bible reading is from the New Testament book of Luke. From chapter 9, we'll read verses 28 through 36. In the New King James Version Pew Bible, we're on page 1477. Before we read, let us pray. Speak, Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. Luke 9:28. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. As Jesus prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with Jesus, who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which Jesus was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were fully awake, they saw Jesus' glory and the two men who stood with him. Then it happened, as they were parting from Jesus, that Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. While Peter was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. When the voice had ceased, Jesus was found alone. But they kept quiet and told no one in those days any of the things that they had seen. God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. Flannery O'Connor was once asked to put the meaning of one of her short stories in a nutshell. She responded, If I could put the meaning into a nutshell, I wouldn't have had to write the story. The Bible tells a story, a true story. If I were to put it in a nutshell or to use just one verse, I would use John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Believe in God's Son and live. However, there is so much more meaning when we read from the beginning of human history with creation to the ending with a new heaven and earth. The story is so much fuller when we consider God's interaction with humans. While the last book of the Bible gives us the summation of history on earth, it doesn't give us all the nuances of a God who has continued to interact with us even after the writing of the Bible and will do so throughout eternity, never ending. In our daily bread reading for Monday, February the 24th, 2025, Brent Hackett wrote, While I stood watching the amazing power of Niagara Falls, I noticed that other tourists suddenly began taking photos. Looking in the same direction, I saw a rainbow had appeared arching across the river. It seemed to begin at the base of the Horseshoe Falls, ending at the base of the American Falls. In reality, there is no end to a rainbow. A rainbow is a full circle. He writes, Something I've seen only once. I was gazing at an airplane window when the sun, shining in just the right direction, revealed a full circle rainbow in the distance above the clouds. I sat enthralled with the sight until the plane turned and the circle disappeared. Peter, James, and John witnessed an enthralling sight. That is when they roused themselves from sleep. Now, Jesus sleeps in the stern of a boat during a storm that's so strong the disciples are fearful of sinking. The disciples, on the other hand, tend to fall asleep during prayer moments, which are so strong for Jesus that he's transformed with a glowing face and a glistening white robe. When the disciples do rouse themselves, they find two heroes of their faith, Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Without the Old Testament, we might not appreciate the significance of Moses and Elijah to the disciples. We wouldn't know that Moses' face once glowed after being with God. In Exodus 34, we read where Moses is on the mountain with God for 40 days and 40 nights. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant of the Ten Commandments in his hand, Moses' face shone from having talked with God. The people were fearful of his glowing face. Moses put a veil over his face. The glow would diminish when Moses was away from God and would refresh with glory when Moses was with God. At the end of the book of Deuteronomy, we read where God showed Moses the land promised to Abraham's descendants, but Moses would not enter into it. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, and the Lord buried Moses in the valley, but no one knows where his grave is. Jesus' disciples were aware of Moses and how his face glowed after being with God, and of his grave known only to God. They also knew the story of Elijah, the great prophet. In 1 Kings chapter 18 on Mount Carmel, Elijah challenged the 450 prophets of the pagan god Baal. Their god could not rain down fire to consume their sacrifice. The living God of Israel rained down fire from heaven, which consumed the sacrifice and licked up all the water in the trench around the altar. After Elijah's ministry was complete, God whisked him up to heaven in a whirlwind. The last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, ends by mentioning Moses and Elijah. The Lord said, "Remember the law of Moses, my servant. And behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." Suddenly, these two men are talking with Jesus. They're talking with Jesus about his upcoming death in Jerusalem. Could it be that even the beloved Son of God needs encouragement in the valley of the shadow of death? Or was it for the benefit of the disciples and future disciples? This mountaintop experience happens 8 days after Jesus had told his disciples that he would be rejected by the religious leaders, he would be killed, and raised the third day. Jesus also spoke of his disciples denying themselves and taking up their cross daily and following him. He concluded by saying, "There are some standing here who shall not taste death until they see the kingdom of God." 8 days later, they are with a transfigured Jesus. As Moses and Elijah began to part from Jesus, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it's good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he was saying. While Peter was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. In Timothy Keller's book, King's Cross, he writes, "On Mount Sinai in the Old Testament, God came down as a cloud. It was called the Shekinah glory. God told Moses, 'No one can see my face and live. God's glory is too powerful to behold.'" That day on the mountaintop, Peter, James, and John entered that cloud, or we might say that the Shekinah glory engulfed them. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." When the voice had ceased, Jesus was found alone. Peter, James, and John are in the very presence of God, yet they do not die. Moses is gone. Elijah is gone. Jesus remains. Jesus is the bridge over the gap between God and humanity. Jesus is able to give what Moses couldn't. Jesus is able to give what Elijah couldn't. When the cloud comes down, the disciples are surrounded and embraced by the brilliance of God. They hear God the Father declaring, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." There was another time at Jesus' baptism, recorded for us in Luke 3, 21 through 22. Jesus was baptized, and while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon Jesus, and a voice came from heaven which said, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." Jesus is God's beloved Son. The seed of God is implanted by the Holy Spirit into the Virgin Mary. She gives birth to Jesus, the God-man. He is able to understand and save us. Understanding God as one is a significant part of the Christian faith. God declared God's self as one to the people of Israel in the Old Testament. That never changes. What does change as the story unfolds is how God speaks into his story and lives out that story with his creation. God is one with distinct personalities and roles. All of God has always existed and always present in creation. The Old Testament gives us glimpses of God as a Father and the Holy Spirit of God and the promise of a Messiah. The New Testament gives us even more of God's glory. Some simple analogies used to explain God as one, yet being three, is an egg. An egg is one thing, but it has three parts with the outer shell, and then the white enclosed, and the yolk deep inside. And there's water. Water is water with the same chemical makeup, but it can be in three states. It can be a solid, a liquid, or a gas. Or a shamrock, a three-leaf clover. A shamrock is one stem, but it has three leaves branching out from the stem. While we cannot explain the mystery fully, and we shouldn't try to take the mystery out of God, of our faith, as if we have all understanding and all knowledge, but we can try to comprehend some of God's disclosure to us. All of God is one, and yet each part revealed to us is equal and yet distinct. While it doesn't comprise all of God the Father in our history, one part of his function is seen as the source, the beginning. He's the provider and the protector of creation. Likewise, all of Jesus' Son is multifaceted, yet we can maintain that a significant part of his interaction with our world is as Redeemer for us and all of creation. In the same way, the Holy Spirit, which hovered over the face of the waters in the beginning of creation, surely relates to us in numerous ways. Significant for us that the Holy Spirit of God acts as our comforter and counselor. God's admonition to hear my beloved Son calls for us to listen to Jesus and to follow Jesus' example and to trust in his saving action on the cross and with his resurrection. One of Jesus' experiences that we have in common is death. Jesus faced it with prayer. Can we live with any less? In his book, What Every Christian Must Know to Grow, Ken Carter mentions six things that could hinder us from having the conversation with God that changes us. First of all is vague request. Pray for a specific need. Of course, mine during this past week has been for healing for the top of my hand. Each of us has specific needs for ourselves, our family, our church, or the world. While we don't know all needs and we can't express all needs publicly, we can talk privately with God at any time and about anything. A second hindrance of prayer is unclaimed scriptural promises. Here's an example. In 1 James 5-8, the Bible promises, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and it will be given to him. A third hindrance is doubt that God will answer. That James 1:5 is followed by James 1:6, which says, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea that's driven and tossed by the wind. A fourth hindrance is selfishness. The story is told that a man bowed his head and prayed, God bless me, my wife, and my two children, us four and no more forevermore. Amen. Now, most of us are probably not quite that blatant about it, but sometimes we neglect to pray for those outside of our immediate circle. We can pray for those who do not know Christ as their Savior. After all, where would any of us be if Jesus nailed upon the cross had not prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. A fifth hindrance is failure to live in an attitude of prayer. Dolly of the Family Circus cartoon speaks with childlike wisdom when she tells her little brother, we can talk to God anytime because God has a toll-free number. And the sixth hindrance to prayer is resistance to God's will. Earlier we mentioned that we could claim God's promises in the Bible. But one caveat that sometimes confuses us is that there are some situations for which there's no specific promise to claim. The Heavenly Father never obligates himself in Scripture to give us the job that we think we need, or the person that we choose for a marriage partner, or perfect health that we are convinced is necessary. We should make our requests known to God in these areas. But if God answers differently, we should not become bitter. God doesn't always give us what we want. He gives us what is best. The suggestion is made that God's answer may be one of four replies. Yes, and we do love it when it is yes. Sometimes it's no, and this requires more submission. And sometimes it's wait, and this requires much patience. And sometimes it seems like it, you must be kidding. Sometimes we do not realize what we are asking. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us believe your beloved Son who died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead that we might have everlasting life. In Jesus' name, amen.